Today's daf is Shabbos daf Pei Vav. We're at the Mishnah on the very top of daf Pei Vav Amar Aleph. The Mishnayos continue to go through Minayins, different cases, different halachos that we look for the source of these different halachos. As we mentioned at the beginning of the parak, nothing that we've learned so far in this parak seems to have anything to do with Hilchos Shabbos and doesn't really seem to relate to the Masechta at all. So Rashi had said at the beginning of the parak, Mishum Dabay Lemisni Ba'adayu Minayin Shemar Chitzin Es Amila Kailu Lahanach. We're mentioning all these minayins all to get to that one line of minayin about bathing, about washing a bris milah on Shabbos. That line is going to appear in this Mishnah. So according to Rashi, everything we've learned so far was just to get to this point. Again, Tosos didn't buy that. Tosos didn't think that was correct, because after all, then we should have started with that line in the Mishnah. Rather, Tosos says that the first Mishnah in this parak is really why we bring all these minayins, based on quoting a pasuk very similar to the last Mishnah in the last parak. But at least according to Rashi, we've been building up to this point. So let's see. This Mishnah is going to have several minayins. It's going to have four different minayins. Number one, minayin lepaleta shechva zera biyom hashlishi sheitameya. How do I know that if a woman is paleta shechva zera, if a woman has tashmish shamita, so the shechva zera is seeping out of her body for several days after the tashmish shamita? So how do I know that when the shechva zera is seeping out of her body on the third day, that's going to make her tumeya, that she's going to have the same tumah of a balkeri, just like a man who has shechva zera come out of his body as part of the natural process of having it come out of his body is going to be tumey. When it seeps out of a woman's body after tashmish, she's going to be tumey as well. But even on the third day after tashmish, shenemar, because the pasuk says hayunichonim l'shloshes yamim, that we should prepare for 3 days in advance of kabbalas haTorah in being poresh min aisha, that we had to refrain from marital relations for 3 days prior to Kabbalas HaTorah. And the reason we had to do that was in order to make sure that we are Tahar at the time of Kabbalas HaTorah. And the only way to make sure that the women were Tahoros was by not having Tashmish Shemitah, so that they won't be Polto Shechva Zera. There won't be any Shechva Zera coming out of their bodies. Frek Tosos, wait a second. This is before Kabbalas HaTorah that we're being told about this. Afal Pi Shabos HaShah Adayin Lo Nitna Torah, so why would this matter? Meaning we didn't have any dinim, dine tumah and tara until Kabbalas HaTorah. This was before Kabbalas HaTorah. So mikol makom mistamah hikpida Torah al davar sha'asid liyos tumah achar matan Torah. That probably the Torah was being makbid that we shouldn't even have anything that would one day be viewed as tameh. Meaning from our perspective, post Kabbalas HaTorah, we don't want to look back and say, oh, the condition we were in at Kabbalas HaTorah is what we would call Tameh, even if in fact it wasn't there was no such thing as Tumah from their perspective. So says Tosfos, wait a second, if we're being makbid about Tumah, why is it only this kind of Tumah? V'afakav t'log pidal zavin u'mutzorain u'bal enidos. What about all these other kinds of Tumah? So the Gemara darshins and Maseches Brachos that Kabbalas HaTorah had to be done with a certain level of fear and a certain level of trepidation. And therefore, learning Torah consistently also has to be done with a sense of trepidation, with a sense of fear. So we see from there that someone who's tamei is allowed to learn Torah. The divrei Torah are not mekabel tuma. Azav, mitzora, bali, nidos, they're allowed to learn Torah. Lekros b'Torah b'nevim, l'shanos b'mishno, b'shas, b'alachos, b'agados. But a balikari on asurin, a balkari is not allowed to. Pierce balkari, enu be'emu b'yira, demachmas kalas rosh huba. Balkari comes as a result of kalas rosh. So since it comes as a result of lightheadedness, as a result of kalas rosh, we are not allowed to learn Torah. Technically, we wouldn't have been able to learn Torah. That was the gzeira of Tvila, but it was gzeira shein tzibri chol namudba, so that's why we're making on this. But technically speaking, we should not have been able to learn Torah as a balkari, but certainly to be mekabel the Torah. So it's not only about the tumah; it's about what this particular kind of tumah reflects. It's that this tumah reflects a sense of kalas rosh, and therefore was inappropriate to have a kabbalas haTorah with this particular kind of tumah. So that was the first minayin. Second minayin. So again, this is B'yom Shlish Chalios B'Shabbos. This is according to Rashi why we're quoting this Mishnah. How do I know that on the third day after the bris, if it falls out on Shabbos, that you're allowed to bathe the bris mila, you're allowed to bathe the baby in warm water, even though normally warming water on Shabbos is a violation of Minister Bishul Da'araisa, but it's permissible for the Pikoach Nefesh of the baby? Because the Pasuk says, on the third day, when they were hurting, this is of course talking about when Shimon and Levi went in and they wiped out the city of Shechem, they dafka waited for the third day when they were hurting the most, and that's when they did what they did. So you see that the third day is a day that is most dangerous and that is most difficult. Rashi says, even though B'yom Gimel is Mesukanhu, and there is a discussion though in the Rishonim and Achronim over here, when we say B'yom Gimel, that on the third day it's a particularly dangerous day, does that mean that the third day is more dangerous than the first and second day? Or is it that even the third day, still on the third day, the baby is still Mesukan? Kal v'chomer on the first day and the second day, the baby would still be Mesukan. So the Chidushi Arani says, Kol Shkein Rishon V'Sheini. From the third day he's Mesukan, so Kol Shkein of the first day and the second day. That's what the Meiri writes also. Sha'adayin ha'yukavim. Kol Shkein ha'yukavim b'Rishon V'Sheini. Point is, they were still Kohev on the third day. But from the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos, it sounds different. The Rambam says that the third day is the most difficult day. It's the day where the pain is the greatest. And the Rambam seems to say that way in the Yad HaChazaka as well, in the Hilchos Mila, Perek Beis Halacha Ches. So the Ran in the Dorim, on Lamed Aleph and Beis, says that it's not that the third day is a more painful day than the previous days. Why did Shimon and Levi wait till the third day then? Why didn't they wipe them out on the first and second day? Because by the third day, they've been in pain for 3 days. So there's a certain cumulative effect on a person's psyche and a person's energy level when it's been going on for a longer period of time. That's dafka why they waited in 3 days. But it's not that it's more painful on that day than it is any other day, or even more dangerous on that day than it is any other day. Again, that is the sheet of the Ran. This is the basic machlokas rishonim. The third minayin of our Mishnah, minayin shekoshu loshon shel zahoris b'rosh seir mishtalech. How do I know they tie a red string on the head of the seir mishtalech on Yom HaKippurim when they send out the seir la'azazel? How do I know there's a red string on its horns? Shenemar im yu chateichem kashanim kashel yel binu. If our sins were red, which is a color that's symbolic of averos, so kashel yel binu, it should turn white like the snow. The Gemara in Yumand of Samach Zayin says that it used to be they would tie a Lashon Shel Zahoris al Pesach u'ulam mibachutz, on the outside of the opening to the ulam, and everyone was able to see this Lashon Shel Zahoris, which worked out really, really well on the years that it turned white, and therefore we had a simin min hashamayim that we had a kapara. Did not work out quite so well on years that it didn't turn white. People felt very dejected by that, and they decided, everyone was sad, so they decided that they were going to tie half of it on a sela, the chetzio ben karnav, and half between the horns of the seir mishtaleach. The difficulty the Achronim raise is that there is an Isra Lav in the Torah called Mechamer, that you're not allowed to have an animal carry something on Shabbos or Yom Kippur for you. So isn't this a violation of the Lav of Mechamer? So all the Achronim suggest the same basic idea. The Tshuva Space of Ephraim or Chaim Siman and Gimel, quoted here by the Shor Mitzion Balacha, they all say the basic idea is that Letzorech Rabim, it's mutter. That we're not, or that that when it comes to behemas kachim, there's no isser of mechamer. Mechamer is only an isser on behemtucha, not in behemas kachim. And this is how the Minchas Chinuch holds in the Mosach HaShabbos, and the isser of mechamer as well. That it's not about behemas kachim; it's only about other behemos. So why would you say this is a tzorach rab dafka to tie it on the behema? Because it's based on that Gemara and Yuma that we mentioned before, that initially they had it tied somewhere else, but the state of mind of the entire Klal Yisrael after Yom HaKippurim of being sad and being feeling dejected is a major tzorach. We didn't want that to happen anymore, so that this takana came to address that problem, and therefore it's a tzar gadol of Klal Yisrael if it wouldn't be Malbin. So that's why it's and it's mechamer kalachar yad, and that's why it became mutter. Very similar the Heter. The Gemara has a Maseches Ksuvos and Daf Samach. The Gemara says Goneach Yonik Cholav B'Shabbos, because it's that a woman can bend over and be Yonik Cholav to nurse milk on Shabbos, even if it meaning even if it's not going directly into a baby, if she does it in kala achar yad kind of way, that because b'makom tsar lo goes rabbanon, over there it's melacha d'oraisa of where you're chayav skila, it's not even mechamer kala achar yad, and still it's not even a lav like mechamer. Over here is kal v'chomer lechora, it should be mutter. That's how the achronim explain. Okay, further in the Mishnah, minayin l'sicha she kishtia b'yom HaKippurim. How do I know that anointing oneself with oil has the same din as drinking on Yom HaKippurim? So that, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, we don't have a raya, but we do have some sort of allusion to it in the Pasuk. Afal pishen raya l'davar, zecha l'davar, shenemar v'tavo kamayim b'kirbo u'kishemen batzmosav. That we compare the water coming b'kirbo to shemen batzmosav. Just like a person drinks water, Sicha, anointing oneself with oil, has the same din as shtia, has the same din as drinking. But it's not a raya gemura. Why is it not a raya gemura? So Tosfos points out it's not a raya gemura because the pasuk that we're quoting is lo mishtoi b'shtia ela beruchitza. It's not talking about drinking water, it's talking about bathing in water. So the mashma mayim dum yudashem and mashem me'avrai af mayim me'avrai. Because the pasuk, the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is you're using the water the same way you're using the oil in the pasuk. Just like the oils on the outside of your body, so too is the water. Fractosos, but wait a second. V'kashal the reed, the preparic pastor, the yuma, in yuma dafayin vav, kamar derechitza ikri inui minolan, asks, how do I know that inui is fulfilled by not bathing, that one of the fulfillments of inui is not bathing? Amar Rav Zutra, mehachava, tovakamayim bikirbo, mayim dum yudashemen, mashem me'avroi. Right? It quotes this same pasuk that teaches us not to bathe. Uparach v'haytana ipcha nosav laditna minayin l'sicha. And the Gemara asks, but wait a second, don't we use this pasuk to teach me about sicha kishtia, that the pasuk is about drinking, not about bathing? So why is the Gemara asking that question, that how could we use this pasuk to teach me about bathing? We're using it here to teach me about drinking, about sicha kishtia. Umay parach, atana demastisim, kamar shein rayel, davar al zechel, davar mishum demayim, domi deshem, and kidabrishes. But what kind of question is that? Our Mishnah said explicitly, we're not really using this pasuk to teach me this din of sicha kishtia. It's only a zechel davar. We know the pasuk is really about rechitza. We know the pasuk is really about bathing. So Omeri de parachachi di chashiva raya gemura de rechitza kesicha kedekamrit love lelahaitan lemevr mina afilu zecher bialma. Now the point that the Gemara is saying over there is that if it's true that it's a clear drasha from a pasuk that this pasuk teaches me that one may not bathe, we wouldn't even use it as a zecher to tell me sicha kishtia. We only use it as a zecher because it's sort of open. The pasuk is not so clearly talking about something else. But if it were so clearly telling us a different halacha, which has an opposite implication from the pasuk, so we never would have used it even as a zecher to sicha kishtia. Now this din of sicha kishtia is a major machlokas in the achronim, major discussion in the rishonim and the achronim. How far do we take sicha kishtia? Can you take non-kosher items and rub them on your skin? So you think whoever wants to take non-kosher items and rub them on your skin, is your soap kosher? Right? Can you take soap and rub it on your skin? There are two sugyas in Shas about this. We have this sugya over here on Shabbos Taf Pei Vav, and then there's a Gemara in Nida Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that learns the same thing in regards to rubbing truma on one's skin. That not only are you not allowed to eat truma, drink truma if you're not a Kohen, rubbing truma products on your skin is also considered a form of drinking, sicha kishtia. It is somewhat interesting that both contexts of sicha kishtia relate to halachas where the isser isn't really formulated as an isser achilu shtia. Yom Kippur is a mitzvah's inui. It's not an isser achila, it's a mitzvah's inui. Truma is an isser to be mafsid truma. It's not an isser of only of achilas truma, it's mishmeres trumosi, that you have to protect truma, that you're not allowed to be mafsid truma. But that's the two places where the Gemara talks about it. The question is, are these examples, or are these the only places where we would say sicha kishtia dafka by Yom Kippur and by Truma? So there are several approaches in the Rishonim Tosos in Yuma Defayin Zayin is bothered. Why the Gemara needs two separate pesukim to prove Sicha Kishtia? It quotes one pasuk in Chumash and another pasuk in Nach. So Tosos says that the Gemara Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that even the pasuk that the Gemara quotes from the Torah isn't meant to indicate that there's nisidah raisa to anoint oneself with the oil of truma. Pasuk is only in asmachta bialma but it's really only an iser to Rabbanon. So in terms of halacha, though, there's a three-way machlokas rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam, according to Tosnida, says we only find that this iser to Rabbanon of anointing when it comes to oil. But chelev, shumana chazir, other types of fats and things like that, like things they make soap out of, that's mutter. The Rashba, according to Beis Yosef in Yardeus and Kuf Chav Gimel, says that even if your life is not in danger, you're allowed to use non-kosher fats to anoint the skin. However, Nukudas Kesef learns from the Rashba that it sounds that he's saying, even if you're sick but your life isn't in danger, sounds like he's saying, but if you're perfectly healthy, then you shouldn't use such products. You shouldn't even use fats, animal fats, things that are not kosher. The Rashba is far from explicit in saying that you're not allowed to use non-kosher soap, but that's the diuk that the Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach, the Nekudas HaKesef, in Yardei Simon Kuf Yud Zayin makes from the Rashba. The third sheet is the Orchel Schaim, according to Beis Yosef in Yardei Simon Kuf Yud Zayin, that although a person can do business with non-kosher food products, a person is not allowed to rub them on his skin, because Sicha Kishtia, just straight Sicha Kishtia, it's a clear violation of Sicha Kishtia. So you have the Rabbeinu Tam, who's most makil, you have the Rashba, who's sort of in the middle, because he doesn't say anything explicitly, and he's makil for anyone who is a little bit ill or not well, and then you have the Orchel Schaim, who's the most machmir, that it's mamish Sicha Kishtia, that it's straight up Sicha Kishtia. So what do the poskim say about this? Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Sim Shincha Vav Sif Yud says that a person is allowed to wash his hands with soap made from chalev on Shabbos. He says you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos because it's a violation of changing the form of the soap. But the implication is, if it weren't Shabbos, you'd be allowed to wash your hands with non-kosher fats. Nukudas HaKesef quotes the Ramah, who wondered what we rely on when we wash with non-kosher soaps. But again, the implication is that is, meaning the Ramah doesn't say, you know, he says, what do we rely on that everyone does it, assuming that that was always the meaning, that we always wash with non-kosher soaps. Nevertheless, the Bir Halacha in Simen Shincha Vav quotes from the Gra, that the sheet of the Gra was that it's Asr Midrabanan to wash with non-kosher soaps, and the Bir Halacha says, look, the practice, the common minhag is not like the Gra, people are not so makbar on the Gra, we generally rely on Rabbeinu Tam, but it should be noted that the Gra holds not to wash with non-kosher soaps. So one would think, okay, someone who's makbar for Shitas HaGra should look for Ashkacha on their soaps. But that is not the case. Well, even if you're makbid v'shita sagra, our soaps are mutter anyway for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's batal barov. Whatever non-kosher ingredients are in the soaps are batal barov, and there's no din of tam ki ikr when it comes to this isur d'rabanan of sicha. Right? When we're talking about sicha kishtia, we wouldn't follow tam. So there's no tam ki ikr, it would just be batal barov. Almost all soaps, even the ones that have non-kosher ingredients, a lot of them don't, but even the ones that have non-kosher ingredients are majority kosher ingredients. Second, the Torah tells us in Dvarim Perek Yudal Pasuk Chaf Aleph that you're not allowed to eat the meat of an animal that didn't have a proper shechita, nevela. Instead, what are you supposed to do with it? Legera sher b'sharecha titnena. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Samach Zayin and Beis, learns from there that nevela, ru'i leger, kriya nevela, that only if it's edible for human consumption would it even have the status of nevela. It's not considered not kosher if it's inedible. Our soaps typically are inedible, meaning the Gra would probably be machmir if it were edible. If it were not edible, then it's not even something that's called nevela in the first place. And the third reason to be makel is that it could be that when we use soaps, and this the Gra probably wouldn't agree with, but when we use soaps, that's not sicha. Sicha is when you take an oil and you rub it into your skin and leave it there. The way we use soap is we rub it on our skin and then wash it right off. It could very well be that our use of soap is not at all what we would define as sicha. So there are many, many reasons to be makel, even for those who are generally machmir for Shitas Hagra. When it comes to dishwashing soap, it's not just Sicha. The concern is that some of the soap might be left on the dishes and you might consume it. But again, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Nigros Moshe, Yardecha, Ubesim, and Lamed, that it's 100% permissible to use non-kosher dishwashing soap because it's not edible. It's not, it's rancid. It's disgusting. You don't want to have soap left on your plate. It will ruin the taste of it. You ever had a glass with a little that wasn't washed out well enough and you're drinking your soda and something is off? So it's bad. It ruins the whole taste. So it does not pose a kashrus problem. I think Rabbi Belsky is a little more machmir because Rabbi Belsky says that, you know, it's not totally rancid. It's, you know, some of the soaps have pleasant flavors, not pleasant flavors, but he calls it pleasant flavors, but he means like it's not completely rancid. Maybe that's good enough that that's called Rai Lachila, but I think the majority of posts can assume not that way. Okay, so says the Gemara now. So again, the first of the four minayins was about Paleta Shechva Zera B'yom HaShlishi, that on the third day, after having Tashma Shamita, if there's still Shechva Zera coming out of the woman's body, it's going to make her Tameh. So Reisha Delok Rav Lazar ben Azariah. The Reisha seems to be against Rav Lazar ben Azariah, because Rav Lazar ben Azariah holds by the third day she's already Tahora. Seifa Rav Lazar ben Azariah. But then later on in the Mishnah, we do assume like Rav Lazar ben Azariah, the idea that you could bathe the baby on the third day, that's like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. The Reisha can't be like Rav Lazar ben Azariah because Rav Lazar ben Azariah holds on the third day she's ready to Tahora. So Mandalo Muki Kitanai. Generally speaking, there are two approaches to what to do when you have one half of Mishnah sounds like it's got to be going according to a specific Tana, and the other half can't be going like that Tana. So one approach is okay. So there's Machlokas Tanaim in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just forgot to tell us that these are two different Shitos. The other opinion is that no, we'd rather change the text of the Mishnah, add a word, take a word, mishabeshtihi, say that the Mishnah is mistaken, rather than say that there's a machlokas tanaim reflected in a single Mishnah. So mandalomo kitanai tanaresha taru mukilal kulukrab lazar ben Azariah. The one that doesn't like to say Mishnah is called like a machlokas tanaim will say in the Reisha it's tahora, and will say that it is going like Rab lazar ben Azariah, not in the Reisha that it's Tameya on the third day, will change our Mishnah. Umandamokim kitanai, but someone who's willing to say that a Mishnah could reflect a machlokas tanaim, Reisha Rabban, Vesefa, Rav Lazar ben Azariah. So good, so then the Reisha is going like the Rabban, and the Sefa is going like Rav Lazar ben Azariah. We don't have to change any of the words. Tan Rabban, Paleta Shechva Zera B'yom HaShlishi Tahora, Div Rav Lazar ben Azariah. A woman who's Paleta Shechva Zera on the third day, she is Tahora. That's Rav Lazar ben Azariah's opinion, the opinion we just quoted. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Pam Shein Dalet Onos, Pam Shein Hey Onos, Pam Shein Vav Onos. Rabbi Shmuel holds that on the third day she's still Tameya, but the third day goes by calendar days, and therefore there is no set amount of time in that the Shechva Zera needs to be in the woman's body before it turns, before it loses its ability to be potent. The amount of time sometimes could be as little as four Onos, and Ona is a daytime period, or a nighttime period, meaning every 24-hour period is two onos. There's the day and the night. So sometimes it's as little as four onos. Sometimes it's as many as six onos. For instance, the Rashi gives the example that if let's say on the a woman was mishamish mita on dalud b'shabbos im chashecha, so on Wednesday, so her plate is going to be until the beginning of Shabbos, and sometimes it will be five onos if she was mishamish at the beginning of the of Wednesday. Sometimes it will be six onos she was mishamish at the beginning of Tuesday night, meaning when Wednesday first started. So it's all going to be by the calendar day. So it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. She's not going to be Torah until Shabbos. So if she was mishamish late Wednesday afternoon, right before Shkia, so then it's only going to be in her body Thursday, Friday, and be a problem of Tumah. By Shabbos, okay, that's only a total of four onos, Thursday and Friday. If it was Tuesday night after Shkia, so it's already has halachically a din of Wednesday, so then it's going to be Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, so that's already six onos. So there's no set amount of time that has to be in the body, it's all based on the calendar days. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Li Olam Hei. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's always five onos. That's the amount of time that Shechva Zera is still going to be potent in the body. V'myatza mitzas ona rishona, nosa mitzas ona shishis. So much so that if she
if she has Tashmish Hamita halfway through the day, the daytime period, let's say, on Wednesday, so then you go halfway through the fifth Ona to extend the time that the Shechva Sara is still going to be a problem halfway through the next Ona. You don't work with Onos Shlemos. Amrura ban kamed rav papa varmila rav papa l'rava. So some said as follows: Bishlam Reb Lozer ben Azaria karabanan damri beheyavid prisha. I understand what Reb Lozer ben Azaria, how Reb Lozer ben Azaria is going to attach this back to Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah, we got the Torah on Shabbos. When were we Purish? When did we have this Isser to be with our wives? So if you say, like the Rabbanan, that it was on Thursday, so that's perfect. That's Reb Lozer ben Azaria. Because Reb Lozer ben Azaria would hold, yeah, Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos, we were ready, because you only have 2 days where it's a problem. So as long as we were Purish on Thursday, it was all good. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Damar B'dalet Avid Prisha. Rabbi Shmuel will hold like Rabbi Yossi that already on Wednesday we had the Isser of being with our wives. So Wednesday, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that's because for 3 days she's still going to be Tameya. So that's Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So by Shabbos, we're good to go. By Shabbos, everything's Torah. So, but those are the two opinions. There are two opinions in Tanaim about when we had to be Purish. Was it Wednesday? Was it Thursday? Those two opinions line up beautifully with these two opinions about how long a woman is Polat Shechva Zera. El Rabbi Akiva Kaman. But what about Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva says that it's exactly five onos. Who's he going like? Meaning, where would he learn from Kabbalah Satorah? Because we learn all of this. We learn this din of Polat Shechva Zera from Kabbalah Satorah. Where would he learn it from Kabbalah Satorah that it relates to onos? The Pesukim by Kabbalah Satorah talk about days. They don't talk about onos. So how would he get this idea that it's about onos? So Liolam Krav Yossi. Really, he'll hold like Krav Yossi that on Wednesday already, we had to be Poresh. Kedam Ravad Barava. Moshe Bashkama Alo Bashkama Yarad. Moshe went up to Har Sinai in the morning and he came down in the morning. Bashkama Alo Duxiv Yashke Moshe Boker Vayal Har Sinai. Bashkama Yarad Duxiv Lech Reid Valdisa Atavar Nimach. Makish Yerid the Lalia, where the Torah directly links the going down from Har Sinai with the going up to Har Sinai. Ma Aliyah Bashkama. If you read the Bashkama, so just like going up to Har Sinai was early, when Moshe came down, it was also early. So Lamale Lememr Lehu. Vam Ravuni Yisrael Kedoshim Meimr Sham Shemitah Sein B'Yom. So wait a second. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and told us to be Purish from our wives, but he came down during the daytime. Weren't we going to be Purish anyway? Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to even say anything? Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to even say anything? We're not Meshamish Mita B'Yom anyway, because Yisrael is Kedoshim Hain. Says Tosos, Oblav Hachiyoi Parshin, Domer Boz, the Drach of Yom, Zem, Meshamish Mita B'Yom, Va'od, the Karin Kedoshim, Va'atem Tiyuli Memlechus Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh. Tosos points out why we would have been Purish. Anyway, we would have been Purish anyway because it's not an act of Kedusha to have Tashmish Hamita during the day. The Maariv Tzachias points out that there's something bothering Tosos over here. There's a reason Tosos is telling us all this. It says, Kavanas HaTosos, Tarei Kaimlan, Dezavu Mitzoru Lefnei Adibor, In Metamin, In Metamin, La'achar, no, I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong Maariv Tzachias. But he says, Kavanas HaTosos, Tarei Adayin Lo Nitna Torah Az, V'nir B'zeh Inyin Svara, V'davar Shetali B'midus V'snagus Adam Yashar, V'afi Yilonit Natora Yisnagazet. What Tosfos bothered is, why would we Yisrael Kedoshim? Yeah, we're Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvosav. We're Kadosh with mitzvos. But before Matan Torah, we didn't have any mitzvos. So how could the Gemara have been so sure? We wouldn't have been Meshamish Mita B'yom anyhow, because we're Kadosh. What do you mean? We have mitzvos. That's why we wouldn't be Meshamish Mita B'yom if there's an Isser to do so. But there was no Isser at that time because there was no Torah at that time. So Tosfos says, no, it's a general hanhaga of Kedusha, and that Klal Yisrael already had, a general sense of hanhagas of Kedusha that we already had. So says the Gemara, but still Moshe Rabbeinu would need to tell us in the morning, because Ha'amar Rava, Im Hayabayis Afel Mutter, because Rava says it's not always Aser Lev Tash Shemita during the day. If the house is dark, then it's Mutter. V'amar Rava Vitem Rav Papa, Tamil Chacha Mafil B'taliso Mutter. A Tamil Chacham, even if the house is light, he can make it, darken it with his cover, and that also, he's trusted to do that, and that would be mutter as well. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell us during the daytime about not having tashmish, even though he came down, baboker, bahashkama. So fact the Gemara now, according to all the different shittos, v'tvul yom ninhu, aren't we all tvul yom? Meaning by the time we we didn't go to the mikvah until Friday night, until it was Shabbos, so aren't we a tvul yom when we're mekabel the Torah? Don't we have to wait for Harav Shemesh on Shabbos till Shabbos is over till we're mekabel the Torah? How could it be that we're all mekabel the Torah with the tumah of a tvul yom? So Abaye bar Avin, Rav Chanina bar Avin, Da Amri Travayu, Nit na Torah the tvul yom. Yeah, in a chinami, we were all tvul yom. The Torah was given to tvul yom. Yes, Marimar v'kamer lo la Hashmaita, Amrli Ravina l'Marimar. So Marimar was saying this over. So Ravina said to Marimar, Nit na kamrit. What do you mean the Torah was given to Tvul Yom? Do you mean it was actually given while we were all Tvul Yom, or it could have been given when we were Tvul Yom, meaning, and therefore this doesn't pose a problem? He says, no, I just mean that it's ra'ui to be nasin el Tvul Yom, but because the Torah is not makbid on having Harav Shemesh before giving the Torah. But it's lav dafka that's how it actually happened that we were all tvulei yom velitvulu beni shimshi velitvulu torah beni shimshi. So asks the Gemara, why weren't we tovel on Friday night and mekabel the Torah then, be mekabel the Torah Friday night? Why did it have to wait till the next day to be mekabel the Torah? As Rashi points out, beni shimshi be shimshi lele Shabbos kari be shimsha. Generally speaking, even though there's a bein hashmashos every single day of the week, when we refer to stam bein hashmashos, it always refers to Friday night. Because normally bein hashmashos doesn't have that many halachic implications. Because what changes at bein hashmashos? The question of kriya shema, mariv, there aren't that many halachas that you have bein hashmashos. Shabbos, you have a Friday night bein hashmashos, is a very big deal. All these from the rabbanon of Shabbos, lo gazru bein hashmashos, but these from daraisa kick in. So Friday night bein hashmashos is what we normally refer to as bein hashmashos. So v'chutzrak laskiru b'kam m'kam v'svachi parach Rabbi Kiva damar hikpida Torah al minyan ha'onos v'lo'kpida el al-chamesh l'ma lo'kiblo b'layla. So what we're asking right now is, according to Rabbi Akiva, that it was all about five onos, right? That's the concern, is all about five onos. Why weren't we mekabel the Torah at night? Meaning, how did Rabbi Akiva learn this? Moshe Rabbeinu came down Wednesday morning and told us to be porish menos shaseim. So we're porish on Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day. So that's five onos right there. So by Friday night, we should be able to go to the mikvah. We don't need to wait for Friday night. We don't need to wait till Shabbos morning. By Friday night, we should be able to go to the mikvah and get the Torah. So why is that? Why didn't that happen? That's the Gemara's kasha. Amrab Yitzchak lo meirosh b'seisu dibarti. That the pasuk said lo meirosh b'seisu dibarti, which we darshin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't come speaking in private, in secret. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us the Torah. He gave us the Torah in a very public, overt kind of way, not in a covert, secret kind of thing. So he wants it to be in broad daylight. That's the whole reason. So v'litvul b'tzafra d'shabata, v'litvul tor b'tzafra d'shabata. So why didn't we just go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning and get the Torah Shabbos morning also? Why did we go to the mikvah Friday night and then get the Torah Shabbos morning? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak Shloya Alolu Holchon Kabbal Torah Valolu Holchon Tevila. It's inappropriate if, as some people are going to get the Torah, others are going to do Tevila. We'd like everyone to be Tahar, ready for Kabbalah Satorah. So everyone became Tahar ready the night before and was ready for Kabbalah Satorah the next day. Amr b'chir b'rabba, Amr b'yochanan, Zudiv Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva. Avucham mom sheish ono shlemos b'inan. That's Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Kiva. But the Chum say you need six full onos. Actually, before we get to Rav Chista, there's one unbelievable vart I saw over here in the back of the Gemara. Rav Shaul Katzenellenbogen has his chidushim printed in the back of the Gemara. He says this idea that lo meirosh b'seisu dibarti, that Hashem didn't want to give us the Torah in secret, in private. He says based on this, we can understand the Gemara in Pesachim Samachesam Beis. Very, very well known line in the Gemara. Amr of Yosef ilav hahu yoma de kagarim kami Yosef ika bashuka. The Rav Yosef says, if not for the day of Kabbalah Satorah, how many Yosefs would there be in the Shuk? There would be so many Yosefs. So says Rav Shaul Katzenellenbogen, and he says, follow me over here. There are three hakdamos that you need to know to understand what this is talking about. He says, hakdama number one, all of them are fairly well known. Hakdama number one is the Gemara in Erev and Dalet Amud Aleph, that Charus Ilmali lo nishtabru luchos harishonos lo nishtakha Torah Yisrael. That had the first luchos not been broken, Torah would never have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. We would not not have taken much work. We would have been able to remember it, to remember everything in Torah. The idea that we forget Torah is only because we didn't get those first luchos, we got the second luchos. Hakdamar number two is the Medrash quoted in Rashi on Chumash, that Harishonos al yidei shahayu b'tshuos v'kolos sholto behem ayin hara. In the Chayafim and Atznius, the Luchos Rishonos, because it was such a major event of Kabbalah Satorah, with the seeing the thunder and hearing the lightning and all this amazing event, and it wasn't done b'tznius. That's why the Shaltabo Ayin Hara. That's why the Ayin Hara got the best of that Kabbalah Satorah, and that one didn't work out because it was in such a public display. And you have the third Hakdama is the Gemara in Brachos tells us that the difference between Rabba and Rav Yosef in their styles of learning. Rabba was an Oker Harim, Rav Yosef was a Sinai. Rabba was very strong in Svara and analysis. Rav Yosef knew everything. He was a tremendous Baki. So now, says Rav Shaul Katz and Ellenbogen, now we understand what Rav Yosef is talking about in Maseches Pesachim when he says, Il Mole Yahu Yoma Kama Yosef Iko Bashuka. He means, if the Torah would not have been given during the day, what if this concern of Beseser would not have been something that Hashem would have been concerned about? What if he would have said, you know what, I'm not going to give it during the day, I'm going to give it Betznius. And therefore the first Luchos would have lasted, because we wouldn't have had Ayin Hara, wouldn't have been Sholet on the first Luchos. First Luchos would have lasted. Then what would we have all been? We would have all been a Sinai. Everyone would have remembered everything. So says Rav Yosef, Elmaleahu Yoma, had it not been for the fact that Hashem chose to give the Torah during the day, which opened up the door for the Ayin Hara, which caused us to need a second Luchos, and therefore we forget, then Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, everyone would be just like me. There would be nothing special about my skill set, that I'm a Sinai. Everyone would have been a Sinai. Thought that was a beautiful take on the Gemara. Okay, so Vaitu in the Gemara. Now, so a new idea. When we talk about the Tumah of Shechva Zara, how long it remains Tameh, that's only if it's coming out of the woman's body. But if the Shechva Zara came out of a man's body, in a normal bodily function, the Shechva Zara came out of his body, and there's still Shechva Zara here, it's Tameh Kolzman Shilacha. We don't measure it by onos, by days, we measure it by moisture. As long as it's still moist, it's Tameh. Once it dries up, it's not going to be Tameh anymore. Tosus points out, Rabbi Natan asks, this is enough in the Mishnah, Nida, Hazov, Ania, Varok, Shechva Zara, Metam and Lachem, Metam and Yevation. You need an Amorah of to come and teach me that it's tummy while it's still lach, it's a beferish of Mishnah. So he says that lo kasha kulehai. It could be that it's not such a kasha, because maybe the Mishnah, had I just had the Mishnah, I would have thought, yeah, it's tameh so long as it's moist, and also so long as it's still within 3 days of when it came out. But after that, even if it's moist, it would not be tameh. Comes along Rav Chista, and he adds that even beyond 3 days, calls manchi hilacha. So he says that's one answer. The other answer, he says, unbelievable, Rabbi Natan Farish, over here, we're not talking about someone who's a Balkari, where a Sheikh Vazera came out of his body. We're talking about a man who has Sheikh Vazera come out the same way a woman would have Sheikh Vazera come out. I mean, a woman has Sheikh Vazera come out after an act of intercourse. So we're talking about a man who violated Mishkav Zachar and had Sheikh Vazera come out of his body. That's based on Lacha. That's the actual Chiddush of Rav Chista. Mas Rav Shesha, so Rav Shesha asks the Kasha, Vakal Begad, Vakal Asher Yelav Shech Vazera, Prat L'Shech Vazera Shi Srufa, Maylav Shapir Shemina Ish. So it says that Shech Vazera, we darshan from the Pasuk, that any Shech Vazera that's turned rancid, that's turned, that's no longer viable, is not considered Shech Vazera. Isn't that talking about, even though it came out of a man's body, and even though it's still wet, but if it came, but if it's Srucha, it's no longer Tamei Shech Vazera? And it's going to go, Shapir Shemina Isha. No, it's not Shech Vazera, it comes out of a woman. If it comes out of a man's body, then it's all tali and moisture. By Rav Papa, Shech Vazera Shel Yisrael B'me'ei Kutis Mahu. What would be the status of a Shech Vazera of a Jew that's in a non-Jewish woman's body? Yisrael, meaning would it also 3 days of Tumah, or do we say that it's some other time period? Yisrael B'mitzvos Chavul Gufayu. Do we assume that because Jews have a concern over observing mitzvos, so our bodies are more quick to ruin the Shech Vazera, to destroy it, and therefore therefore it takes as little as 3 days for it to be destroyed. But Akum Dlo Digi Mitzvah Slow, but a guy who doesn't have to worry about mitzvahs doesn't have such a concern. Maybe the guy, the non-Jew's body, is also going to be able to process and destroy the Shechvah Zera that quickly, because they eat all sorts of non-kosher foods that are more harmful to things that are put into the body. Maritz Chayis again raises the question, wait a second, what are we talking about over here? This whole din of Paleta Shechvah Zera we learn from where? From Kabbalah Satorah. These 3 days were before we were de'igi b'mitzvos. The whole svar to say that a Jew is because he's doing b'mitzvos, this is before we were ever doing mitzvos. So Maritz Chayis says, al karchum mishum da'achlush, he says, so it's al karchum mishum da'achlush katzur masum chavul gufayu. So it has nothing to do with mitzvos. So he says, v'tzorach lomar, d'Yisrael hoya alei mitzvos b'nei noach, v'giranoshe, u'maisur, v'gam mitzvos shabbos, v'kibirav. You have to keep in mind the historical development of how Targum mitzvos came to be. Klal Yisrael didn't get all the mitzvos all at one time at Kabbalah Satorah. As things went on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us more and more mitzvos different at different points in history. So we already had several mitzvos. We had already Giran Asher from Yaakov Avinu, right? We had several mitzvos that were already that we were already observing. We had Bris Mila from Avraham Avinu. So since we had several mitzvos that we were already observing, so that's enough to make it the Igi B'mitzvos that we had beyond the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. Anyway, so that's the Gemara's question. Do we assume that in a non-Jew's body it's the same? And if you want to say because they eat shkatzur masim, so that their bodies are able to ruin the Shechvah Zera within 3 days also, what about if it's in an animal? Do we assume that since biologically animals are very different than human women, so it wouldn't be the same? Maybe it doesn't make a difference. Take who the Gemara leaves this unresolved. There is a very famous comment of the Chassam Sofer, a very challenging comment of the Chassam Sofer, where he says that it's very difficult to be somech on doctors nowadays, on non-Jewish doctors. He says even Jewish doctors, when it comes to inyanei nida, etc., because all the expertise and all the research about how things work is all done on non-Jewish women. And our Gemara tells us that they are chavul gufayu, that because of different diets, then they don't keep a kosher diet, so the effect on the body is completely different, and the way their bodies operate is going to be completely different. So even though you could be somech based on the doctor's recommendation to be mechal Shabbos or eat on Yom Kippur if the doctor says it's pikuach nefesh, that's because even safek pikuach nefesh, you could eat on Yom Kippur and you could be mechal Shabbos. But to rely on the Metoras Vadai to be mekel in Hilchas Nida, so that the Chassam Sofer says he can't see how you could possibly do that, considering that the Gemara highlights a physical difference between Bnei Noach and Israel. Now the difficulty is there are a lot of difficulties with this Chassam Sofer, but Tosus in Gittin and Defayin Amud Aleph points out that Rav Simi made a refuah la'akum kedei l'schakim refuah. He practiced refuah by non-Jews in order to be able to know refuah as it relates to Jews. So Tosfos clearly seems to say not like the Chassam Sofer. There's also a tshuva of the Marsham in Chelek Beis and Kuf Pei Beis where he questions the Chassam Sofer a lot. He has very strong critique of this Chassam Sofer. He says, first of all, this whole thing of chavul gufayu is only something that's machnis into the body, but damnida that comes from the rechem, he doesn't think that would relate to chavul gufayu anyway. What does it have to do with the diet? He didn't think that would have any impact anyhow. Okay, I think generally the assumption is that assuming that the guy doesn't know that we're relying on them for halach, or you have at least the chazak of umen lomar umnase, that it's something that other people would be able to catch, we don't assume that this svara the Chassam Sofer, that the research is all flawed because it's all done on non-Jews. That svara we don't assume. The other issues of relying on doctors, just relying on a non-Jew in general for halacha, okay, that's another issue. Okay, I guess we'll stop there. We get into Kabbalah Satorah now. That's all the sugyas coming up. Shabbos Peches, all those famous Rashi's and Chumash.